Good morning. Can you hear me? All hail King Jesus. Hopefully, Lord willing, we're going to see today what is so unique about King Jesus. Why he stands out, why he's not just one of many. Take a second and turn to Mark chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, just get on your phone or get someone beside you. Look on. I don't know all of your stories, but I know quite a few. And if I don't call your name, don't take offense to it. But the ones that I do know, myself, DJ, Travis, Andre, my wife Julie, Jaden, Chessa, Derek, many of us in here called Jesus Lord of our life. And there was a time when we met him. And that's one thing that we all have in common. If you are a child of God, you have in common is Jesus. And there was a time in your life where you met him. He came to meet you. There's several, I mean, this could be, me and Josh were going over this earlier. He said, if you don't finish, we'll do it next week. Because it's a lot. It's what I want to talk about today is 20 pictures of Jesus. That sounds crazy. You're probably thinking we're not going to get to eat or something, but they're going to go quick. 20 pictures of Jesus. What makes him so unique? What separates him from every other spiritual leader that's ever come across? Allah, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, you name it. There's many things that separate him that will, at the end of today, will say that he is alone. He is king, like we sing about. He is the one. He is the one that you're going to hear about today that can completely change your life if you allow it. At the end, he could be the one that can completely change your life. So let's get to it. If you allow that, he can completely change your life. Why is he so unique? This is Mark ushering in. Oh, forgive me, I just got this iPad. Begins in verse 1. This is Mark introducing us to a unique Christ, a unique Jesus. We're going to read down to verse 14 where it's going to end. God's word says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make ready the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John, verse 6, was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. He was preaching and saying, after me, the one who is coming is mightier than I. And I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And the voice came out of the heavens saying, you are my beloved Son. Woo. and in you I'm well pleased. Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness, and he was in a wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You know, just reading that will get you. It's actually 21 now. If we start in verse 1, there's three pictures of Jesus. Jesus, if you're writing these down, you can write them down. If you know God as your Savior, and He's your Lord, and He controls your life, you can sit back today. This is a good reminder of who your Lord is. If you don't know Christ, if you're on the fence, write them down, because today your life can be completely changed. All right? A third group, if you know the Lord and you don't know how to defend your faith, because you will be asked, and I have been asked, and I know Josh has been asked, and several in here. Somebody ever come up to you and say, "What makes your Jesus unique? Why is he any different than so-and-so?" You got to be able to explain that. Because if you can't explain that, that person won't get what they need. Okay? They're going to miss out on God. Be prepared. Number one, if you're writing this down, Jesus is the center of all history. Jesus is the center of all history. It says, in the beginning, the whole Bible starts in Genesis with "in the beginning." Mark starts "in the beginning." Okay? He's telling us that Jesus is the center of all history. Our calendars, our time is all centered around Jesus. No one else. Even the atheists out there, they go by the calendar that's based off the history of Jesus. Okay? Everything points back as Jesus being the center of history. I don't care how you argue that. Whatever religion is out there, it always comes back as Jesus is the center of the history. All right? It points back to him. The beginning starts with entire Jesus. He's the center of history. No generation ever can say that they're the center of history. Even the old Roman Empire, they come and they go, but they're not the center of history. All right? He's in the center of it all. Number two, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, number two, he's the source. He is the source of the greatest news of all time. Yeah. Not Buddha, none of them. It says the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He's the source of the best news ever. Okay? Back in the Old Testament, I mean, we always heard gospel means good news, but back in the Old Testament, that word was reused as a herald, as a victory in battle. Us, we have ones in here that have heard the gospel and accepted it and lived by it. There's a lot of battles that have been won, haven't they?
Yeah.
Number three, Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sin and our judgment that we deserve. He's the only one that can save us from judgment as we deserve. It's the gospel, as Mark says, Verse 1, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word Jesus means what? The Lord. He's the only one. Number 3, he's the only one that can save us. You can't save yourself. Okay? No other religion can say that there's salvation. There's total forgiveness. I was in a cab years ago, and I got in, it was in Chicago. And I got into a cab, real nice guy. He had the headgear on and all, the turban, and I was in my witnessing stage and ready just to go to battle. And this guy was a prominent follower of Muhammad. Okay? He knew it like that. He could spit it out. I was stuck. And I was with another guy I was working with, a non-believer. And I was trying to think of something I could come back with this guy and just nail him. And I couldn't come up with anything. But the one thing that God gave me was this. I looked at him, and he was arguing that Christianity was basically the same as Islam. And God gave me this. I looked at him right before I got out of the cab, and I said, I got one thing to tell you. There's only one religion in the world that's ever been known to man that offers total forgiveness. And it's not yours. You've got to worry about what you do for Allah. You've got to work your way. Christianity, Jesus died on a cross so you could be saved, so you could have eternal security with him. Total forgiveness. It's the only religion. Jesus is the only one that offers total forgiveness of your sins. I don't care what you've done. I don't know what you've done. But Jesus will forgive everything you've done. And that's what I told him that day. And he was speechless. I think because I got out quick. I didn't wait for a response. But the guy with me, it resonated with him. And I said, yeah. He goes, man, that was cool. I said, he's the only one out of all of them, name them, that says you can have total forgiveness of your sins. So Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins. We've been created by God for him. If you're sitting here today and you don't know Christ, God has created you to be in a relationship with him. The God of this universe, through his son Jesus, has created you, formed you, to have a relationship with him. That's breathtaking. That he wants to have a relationship with us. He's the only one that can save us. Crazy, isn't it? Number 4. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ is not his last name. All right? It's not his last name. It means the Messiah. Okay? The Messiah is coming. He's the only one, number 4, he's the only one that can offer, can bring us and offer us hope, joy, and love that we desire. There's nothing else in your life that can give you the love you desire, the hope you desire, and the joy that you desire. I don't care what you add in your life, it's not going to bring you that. Jesus is the only one that can bring you that. He will bring perfect hope, joy, that you desire. Mark is saying it right here in his text. Number 5. He's the Son of God. No one else can say that. He is the Son of God. The God of the beginning and the God at the end. The same God. No other figure in history can say that. That's what makes him unique. That's why at the end of this, you'll have an opportunity to say yes and follow him. He's fully divine. And that's also, he's fully human. Number six. Not only is he divine, but he's fully human. Okay? God sent his son in the form of a human to be here. So he's fully divine, fully human. That's six. He was just like us, but he never sinned. That verse where it says he's the son of God, it doesn't mean that Jesus is his biological son. All that means is he has the same divine nature as God, as one. Number seven. This goes back to number seven. God keeps his promises. You tell me somebody else that keeps their promises. No one. In verse 2, it says that it was as written, Isaiah the prophet said, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Over 300 prophecies have been fulfilled. Number seven, he keeps his promises. There's many in the Bible that he'll keep, that he has kept and he will keep. Number eight is what me and Josh talked about. This is a good one. He possesses all power. Come on up, Josh. He possesses all power. You got a mic?
All right. So today I'm going to hit the power one. Give me the red mic. Can you hear me? All right, so look at this. I'm going to give you verses. I'm not going to be on the screen, okay? So I want you to grab this down. All right, so we believe in this passage that God demonstrates his power through Jesus Christ. And so I wrote down a few things. I'm going to just show you the verses. I'm going to speak them out, so put them in your notes. I'm using the NLT, so you'll hear this. Number one, he has the power to change lives. Look at verse number 17, if you would. It says that then Jesus called out. Remember, he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, verses 16. His brother Andrew was throwing a net into the water. This is Simon's brother. For they fished for a living. I got that. That's something in my mind. What do you do to try to fulfill your life? All right, they physically did it for a job. But let's be honest, okay? There's a lot of people in here, all right? I've done it in my own life, that were fishing for something to make us happy. Amen. Come on now, you been there?
Yeah.
Talk to me. Or we're looking for something that'll fulfill us. All right, how many of you have looked to the wrong things? Let's get a testimony of that. How many of you have found the truth that Jesus is the only thing that has the power to satisfy what you're fishing for, right? And so he looks at Peter and he says this. Here it is, ready? Come follow me. And I will make you, and I'll show you, and make you a fisher of men. I'll show you how to fish for people. Here's what he's saying. Hey, look, you're fishing for a living. You're fishing for a compliment. You ever met somebody like that? You know, come on. Mm. Come on now. Have you ever cooked something and then look and say, is it good? What are you doing? You're wanting somebody to say, oh, this is the best thing. How is it? Should I save this food? Should I throw this away? Should I keep? Come on now. Right? You ever, you know, come on. Our five-year-olds walk up with macaroni art, right? And they're like, hey, here this is. And you're like, it's so good, let's stick it on the fridge. You do that with your wife and husband. Like, I did the dishes today. I did the laundry. And then all of a sudden they start saying, well, this is what I do every day. And you're like, oh, who asked you? You know what I mean? Like,
I did it last night.
Yeah, did they? I mean, it's so rare you got to brag about it. Yeah. You're fishing for something.
Fishing.
Some of us are fishing for worth. But God has the power to change your life, right? He has the power through Jesus Christ to come in and say, I'll give you something that you'll fish for that will fulfill you. To where you don't need the compliments of men because you got the applause of heaven. You don't need the confirmation of the calling of someone else saying, go do this, because you've had the Savior of the world look at you and say, come do this with me. All right, so that's number one. He gives us the power to do that. Number two, he gives us power over spiritual strongholds. Jesus had power, right? Look at this, verse number 23. Read it with me. If you got your Bibles, pull it out. Suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting, why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Will you please write this down? Don't let the devil know more about Jesus than you.
Ooh.
I mean, he's standing in the synagogues with people that were religious that wanted to kill him while the demons of hell were acknowledging him. All right, now here it is. Ready? Pastor Chris is going to bring an invitation here in a little bit. And as he does that, there's going to be this moment, an opportunity in our lives where we can make a commitment, where we can make a change, where we can say, okay, God, I'm going to surrender my life. In this passage, I want you to understand that the mindset of the worshiper of the day was, no, this, let's worship the process. The mindset Jesus came with is, let's worship the Father. And so there's like, we got to be in tradition. And he's saying, like Chris said, you got to be in relationship. This is why I'm here, to show you how good my Father is. But the demon said, we know who you are. Don't mess with us. I'm going to tell you this, and some of you need to hear it. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you don't know how to get out of? You ever made a decision that you wish you could take back? You ever bought something you wish you could return? Said something you wish you could swallow? All right, you ever been in that place where you're like, hey, I don't like where this is taking me. Hey, Christ has the power over the spiritual strongholds in your life. He has the power over the things that you think have power over you. The cross set you free. And so when Jesus came into your life, he gave you power to be free of the spiritual snares that are in your life. Look at this. I love this statement he makes in verse number 25. As the demon's speaking, I like this. Jesus cut him short. That's what my Bible says. He reprimanded him. Y'all remember the two prophets that were, or disciples that were walking down the road, and the demon-possessed people were heckling them? How many of you know this story, right? As they're walking, they're getting heckled. And the Bible says about the third day they got sick of it. They turned around and they said, hey, and they rebuked it. You know, what I like is when the demons tried to speak, Jesus didn't let them talk. And you want your life to radically change today? When your temptation comes, your tempter calls your name, your accuser starts dialing up your past, when all these things start echoing in your head, don't let the demon talk.
Man.
All right, here it is. 3 days. They were so distraught, the Bible says, until they rebuked the woman. And then guess what? The demon flee. Hey, can I tell you this? Write it in your notes. Satan's a coward. All right? He's a coward. He's one of those narcissists that doesn't like to be called out. And as soon as you call him out, guess what? He gets out. Resist the devil and he will. Anybody know the four-letter word? Flee. All right? Say no and he will go. Write that in your notes. That's a pretty good one. Say no, he's got to get out. Say the name of Jesus and he gets scared. All right, here's the thing. They say, are you going to destroy us? And he says, hey, be quiet and get out of the man. All right, I'm going to tell you this right now. Some of us need to take the authority of Christ. The power of Christ gives you the ability to say, be quiet, shut up to the enemy, so that the enemy cannot speak these things into our lives.
Man.
We need some freedom in the place today, and Jesus gives us the power over strongholds. Not only that, he had power over sickness. Look at verse 32 and 34. There's many stories in Mark 1, but I only get one point, so I'm trying to do it in 5-6 minutes. All right, so here we go. Ready? What did it say? 32. Ready? Pick it up and read it with me. In verse number 32, it says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases. Aren't you thankful for that? It's not just, hey, get up and walk. Some of us, it's, hey, get free from that grudge. Get free from that mindset. Get free from that anxiety. Get free from that depression. Get up and walk. Get out. Get, do this. So he healed them and many diseases. He cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, here it is. Ready? He didn't let them speak. So not only does Jesus have the power to change lives and the power over spiritual strongholds, he has the power over sicknesses. The greatest sickness you'll ever have is sin. And Jesus has given you the power to have freedom from sin. All right? And so in that, understand this. Many of us have been affected by that sickness. How many of you have faced consequences of poor decisions and going against Christ? Maybe doing it your own way, or maybe not doing what Christ has said for you to do. Or maybe you've done something, stepped over the boundaries of what God has said is right and wrong. And if you've been there and you got that testimony today, you are not condemned by what you've done. God has given Christ the power to heal your sickness today.
Amen.
And so
amen.
We believe that, all right? Last thing that I have from this, and I'm going to throw it back to you on this one, is this. Jesus in this, and he's already hit this, he had the power to share the good news.
Ooh.
Right? The power to say, salvation is here. Some of you need to hear this because, you know what? Everything you've done this week is here. Everything that's been done to you in your life is here. And Jesus stepped into this moment. Mark was saying, here comes a Savior. Here comes a Messiah. Here comes a Lord. Here comes a Christ that can say this. Right here, right now, you don't have to live through here anymore. You can let him live through here. And I promise you, to give Christ your heart is to give you a new chance, a new beginning, a new purpose. It's to remake you, renew you, reshape you. And today, you do not have to be defined by what you've done, because Jesus has the power to rescue you.
Amen.
Resurrection power.
Right? Amen.
If he can get up from a grave, he can get you out of yours too. All right? Pastor Chris.
He possesses all power. Number 8. That goes right into, thank you, Josh. It goes right into number 9. Let's go back to Mark 1, verse 9. It says, in those days, he came from Nazareth in the Galilee. Number 9. He comes to meet us where we are. Some of you here today, you don't know why you're here, why you keep coming here. But Jesus is here. He'll come to meet you where you are. He doesn't wait for you to figure it all out and come to him. He could have went into Jerusalem where all the religious stuff was going on. But he said, no, I'm going to Galilee where the Gentiles are, where the normal people are. Okay? He will meet you exactly where you are. Here, outside, at home, wherever. All you have to do is ask. Number 10. He came to show us how to live. You look at any other spiritual person. They didn't show us how to live. Jesus comes to tell us how to live. Number 10. How does he show us how to live? He was baptized. Let's read it. He came from Nazareth in the Galilee. He meets us where we are and was baptized by John in the Jordan. So he's saying, hey, I'm going to show you what I do. He did this to show his followers, this is what I do. So if he's showing us what to do, I think we should do it too. Right? I've heard people say, well, baptism this, baptism that. It's not going to get you into heaven. It's not going to put you into hell. It's a commandment. Okay? It's not a suggestion. If you've been saved, you should want to get baptized. Because he shows us right here that he did it. Okay? He was baptized by John. All right? And as soon as he comes out of the water, it goes into verse 10. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a what? A dove. Where else have you seen the dove at in the Bible? Noah. At the end, the dove flies over the earth as a sign of what? Peace. All right? Descending upon him, and the voice came out of heaven saying, I am well pleased. Number 11, Jesus brings us complete peace. A lot of us struggle with stuff. I struggle with stuff. And I don't know what you're struggling with, but you can find peace. It's not something that you can't find. And only through Jesus Christ will you find that. All right? You're trying to find peace in other things. You're trying to find it in a spouse, a boyfriend or girlfriend, a drug. You're not going to find peace through that. Amen. All right? Jesus is the only one that can give you that peace of knowing I'm a child of God. No matter what happens to me, I'll be with him. And that's where I've gotten in my life. I'm only 55, and there's a lot of you a lot older than I am. Not going to point you out, but I think the older you get, I don't know if it's wiser, but we start seeing what the end looks like. And I'm not, that's not being morbid, but some of you are a whole lot closer than I am, but this can't be it. Think about it. Look around. I didn't want to say this. Some of you thought it was the end last night. But it's not. It's not. It's not the... Well, it was the end for some people. But, the complete peace. And I'll just share with you how I think about it. And I've told you this before. I'm very simple in my faith. I'm not complex. And if it says it, I do it. I try to do it. But the peace that I have, I know if something ever happened to me, that at a blink of an eye, I'm in the presence of God, as the psalmist would say. I'm just going to gaze in his face. Some of you don't have that peace. When I wake up in the morning, it's just simple. Isn't it, Julie? Try to be simple. I try to teach Jaden this, just as follow God. Do what he says. He's the voice. And we're going to get to that later. But he's that voice that I try to tune into. You know, I preached a few weeks ago on 1 Peter about having a sober mind and having that peace. You can get that. You can generate that by what you allow coming in here. Through the music you listen to, the TikTok stuff, the slap face stuff, and the slap chat, and you can dictate what you put in your head. You can control that. All right? If you watch enough Fox News,
oh God,
or CNN, any of them, you feel like killing yourself. You think this world's coming to an end. I quit doing it. I watch a little bit of it. I get the highlights. But this peace that only comes from Jesus can be yours. Knowing that whatever happens to me, I'll be with my Savior. You know, if you believe that, you can have that peace. But if you don't believe it, peace is hard to find in this world. Especially these days. Number 12, Jesus is filled with God the Spirit. That's in verse 9. In those days he came from Nazareth. He saw the heavens and a voice came. He said, you're my beloved son and you I'm well pleased. All right, number 13, we'll move quickly. Jesus is loved by God the Father. No one else could say that. Jesus is loved by God the Father. Okay? It's a perfect love. Now, I love my daughters. I've been waiting to say this. Three natural and one supernatural. All right? I love them to death. But it's not a perfect love. You know what? The love that God has for his son is perfect in everything. That's what makes him unique. 14. Oh, verse 13. And after he went into the wilderness, he was with wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. I don't know what you're going through, what you've been through, but number 14, he's very familiar with temptation. There ain't anything that we've been tempted with that he hadn't already been tempted with. And he never sinned. Unique. He never sinned. Someone asks you, why do you follow just Jesus? Because he's perfect. He's the one that's never sinned. He's the only one that can say that. He's been tempted with lust. Well, you say, well, he had... He didn't have a cell phone. He can't be tempted. Yeah. He got tempted with a lot of stuff. That there were some Bathshebas back then. There was some stuff he shouldn't have looked at that he didn't look at, and he resisted sin. None of us in this room can say we have. There's no sinless person in here. That's what makes him unique. That's what makes him worth saying yes to. Okay? Number 15, if you're writing these down, he's the only one that can resist sin. He's the only one who can resist sin. We can't resist sin. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, he faced every sin and conquered it. Not a few of them, but every sin, and he conquered it. Who else do you know that can completely resist sin? No one. That's what makes him unique. Number 16. You won't find another one in history that can say this. He's the only one that can defeat sin and death and Satan, the author of sin. There's no other that's ever made that statement. He can defeat Satan, sin, and death. No one else in history. Number 17. We're getting to the end. This is a good one. Verse 13. With being with the wild beasts, angels were ministering to him. He knows our suffering. He's very familiar with our suffering. He suffered. It's almost death on a cross. But he's very familiar with our suffering. If you see there in verse 13, and the wild beast. Back in the day, Mark is preaching to the Gentiles that were under persecution from Nero. And if you go back and you read back then, you'll see the history of it. The Christians were being eaten by a wild beast. By Nero putting the skins of wild beast on Christians and letting the dogs devour them. That's what Mark is referring back to here. Jesus knows our suffering. Okay? He's very familiar with it. So, we're walking through hard days now. Some of you will. Some of you are. And if you aren't, you will. But I think sometimes we lose focus on Jesus is very familiar with that. And that's why he wants us to talk to him. That's why he wants us to communicate with him. He built us for relationship, and relationship is communication. Number 18. He brings hope to all nations. He brings hope to all nations, all people. Brown, black, white, Mexican, you name it. Jesus brings hope to all nations, all people. I don't care what you have in your background. There's hope for you through Jesus Christ. All right? Number 19, Jesus is King of all. Jesus is King of all. Mark is saying the King is here. 1 through 14, Mark is saying the King has arrived. Okay? Earthly kingdoms come and go, nations come and go. U.S., China, one day will be gone. But King Jesus is forever. God's kingdom's forever. All right? That's what he's saying here. Now, the biggest one of all, if you didn't write any of them down, write 20 down. The center of all history the source of the greatest news ever, the only one who can save us, the only one who can bring us hope, love, and joy that we desire, the Son of God, fully divine, fully human, the one that keeps his promises, possesses all power, meets us where we are, comes to show us how to live, brings complete peace in this world. He's loved by God the Father. He's familiar with temptation and suffering. He's the only one that can resist sin and the only one to defeat Satan, sin, and death. He brings all hope to all nations. He's king of all. He's king of everything. And number 20, the last one, Jesus came into Galilee preaching, verse 14, the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. He's here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. Number 20, this God, this Jesus, invites you in a relationship with him. To me, that's breathtaking. This God that I'm speaking about, so new, unique, he's invited us in a relationship with him. You don't have to go to a Chinese restaurant to lay an orange at his feet. He comes to us and he wants a relationship. Think about that. He wants a relationship with us. Think about that. This God that's so unique that we've talked about over and over wants to communicate with you, a relationship. Through his Holy Spirit, he wants to be the voice in your head. A lot of us at times, and a lot of you now, have the wrong voices in our head. And Lord willing, I want to share a true story with you. And these lights. A true story. And I pray I get it right. Pray I recall it. There was a pastor. He's a lawyer and pastor. Traveling in Anchorage. With a friend of his. They were at a conference. And they were on the way home, and they were going to the airport in Anchorage, Alaska. They had a ticket in their hand. They're walking through the concourse. This other pastor comes up and has been to the conference. He says, hey, I've got a ticket. You got a ticket? He said, I've got a plane. I can take you home. You can save that ticket. All right? They look at each other like, nah, man, I don't know. I don't know. He said, okay. So he takes him out to the tarmac. They're going to save a ticket. Him and his buddy, they get on this, they go around this shiny plane. He looks at the guy. It looks like he's a pilot. You know, he can control the airplane. So they get in it, and he said, okay, against all his better judgment, he says, okay, I'll do this. So they get in the plane and strap in. The pastor sits in the right, and the pilot, he don't even know. He's piloting the plane. His buddy's sitting in the back. And they get out taxiing, and the pastor goes, hey, shall we pray? Well, the pilot goes, we normally don't, but this guy said, dude, we're going to pray. He prayed for like 8 minutes, he said. They get out there. They get clearance to take off. They get going. Everything's fine. They get up in the air. And I don't know if you've ever been on a little plane or a big plane. It doesn't matter. You ever been up in the clouds? You know, blue day, it's perfect. You get up, you see buildings and stuff. You know, when you get up and you get in the clouds, you can't see anything. John F. Kennedy Jr. was what killed him. You get up in the clouds, you don't know your left from your right. Well, this pastor, the guy that invited him on the plane, looks at him, and they're going up. And about 2 or 3 minutes before they get him to the clouds, he looks at him and says, hey, I got one problem I want to tell you about. I can't fly in clouds. Sometimes I pass out. True story. He said, what? You pass out? He said, yeah. He said, get up and get into the clouds because you got to climb through the clouds. Sometimes you got to go through the storm to get to the pretty part. Understand? And they get up there, and this guy looks at the pilot, and the pilot looks at him, and the pilot starts rolling his eyes in the back of his head, and he starts mumbling stuff. The dude drops, passes out. So this pastor guy sitting right says, looks at his buddy, says, "What are we going to do?" I'm reminding you, it's a true story. His buddy looks at him behind and says, "We're dead, aren't we?" He said, "Probably." Start praying. So he sees this mic, the CB thing, and he gives it to him. He said, "Dude, start calling for help." And they're in the clouds. Now they've tailored out. They're starting to go in straight. Probably on autopilot. So he's calling on help. "Help, help. Can anybody out there help us?" Well, somebody comes back on the radio and says, "You don't know proper radio etiquette." He said, "No, we don't know. We're in a plane. The pilot passed out." He said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a second. You're in a plane that the pilot's passed out and you don't know how to fly?" He goes, "Yeah, we need help." He said, "Hold on one second. I'm gonna see if I can reach Anchorage emergency." So he gets him on the phone, gets him on the radio. And about 5 minutes later, Anchorage emergency comes on, says, "Understand you guys have a passed out pilot. You don't know how to fly a plane." He said, "Yeah, that's right." He said, "Well, listen to me. I'm going to find you. You can't see me, but I can see you. And I'm going to find you." And he says, "Listen to the voice. Listen to me. You're in the clouds. You can't see anything, but I'm going to tell you what to do. All right? Listen to me." And he said, "I'll be back in a few minutes. I've got to find your coordinates." So about 20 minutes pass, and they can't see nothing. And this guy comes back on the radio, Anchorage, Alaska emergency, and said, "I got you." He said, "I'm taking over now. I'm going to tell you what to do." He said, "I've seen them crash and burn over the years. I've seen the same thing because they won't listen to my voice." There's a lot of you here today that are on the wrong track. And you've got voices in your head. You've got people telling you what to do and how to live and where to go. And if you don't start listening to God's voice, you're going to crash and burn. This guy says, "Listen, I've seen them crash and burn all the time. I'm going to get you here. It's going to be a long ride. There's going to be nothing but storms, but do not," he said, "do not look at the storms or you'll die. Listen to my voice." Sometimes we get looking over here, we get looking over here, and we don't focus our attention, our time on God. And a lot of you crash and burn. And this guy's saying, "Listen, just stay with me. Look ahead. I'm going to tell you everything to do. I'm going to get you home, but listen to the voice." A few minutes later, a big freight liner, like a huge 747, comes on. The guy comes on, and he said, "I'm praying for you, man. I'm praying for you." He said, "We're all praying for you." He said, "Do something. Listen to the voice, dude, and you can get home. Listen to the voice." Isn't it nice to get a call from somebody that says, "Hey, dude, I'm praying for you"? Isn't it nice for somebody to check on you that's authentic, that worries about you? I've got two or three people in my life that do that. I worried about him last night. I called him. But he said, "Listen to the voice." About an hour and a half of storms are shaking. They get close, within miles of the runway. The emergency guy's coaching them in. He said, "Listen, You're going to come out of the clouds and you're going to see lights in the shape of a cross. It's true. Most airports, when the pilots come in, those lights are shape of a cross. Then he said, follow the cross and you'll get home. He comes out of the clouds and he sees the lights. They're blue and white, and it's the shape of a cross. And the guy on the line is coaching him in. He's saying, turn this knob, turn that knob, turn that knob. And he lands safely. He said he landed about 7 times in his mind. They get off the plane. They usher him into a hotel to stay that night. And about 4:00 in the morning, he gets a knock on the door. And he opens the door and he says, Jim. And the guy goes, you're the voice. You're the voice that got me home. He said, I am. And I ask you to listen to the voice. It's not a casual acceptance. It's laying yourself here on the altar as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Because one day, and Josh, you could come up. One day, we're going to get to heaven. And we're going to look at God and say, you're that voice that got me home. Amen. Right? Amen. That's him. You're the voice that got me home. You're the voice that guided me through this terrible world. I pray if you don't know God today, and if you're not listening to him, his voice, that you'll start listening to his voice. Because he knows the way. Your ways aren't his ways. He's the right way. And I'm going to ask Josh to close it. But if you don't know the Lord, there's a good chance you're going to crash and burn if you don't listen to God's voice. And he's speaking to some of you right now. And I'm not going to beg you down here. That's not my job. That's God's job to save you. But if that's what God's put on your heart today, please don't leave without doing it.